Sumner would give us the chapter report for Four Rivers.
Thank you. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. We are still trying to reorganize. It's been a tough challenge. But however, we do have one new member that has joined us. His name is Daniel Hawkins. He's from our area and is very, very committed to be joining us and helping us out. So what we're trying to do now, we're going to try a conference call and see how well that worked, because it is just so difficult to get people to come to these meetings. And I've called a number of people. They either not left, call me back, or they say they're just not interested, or they say it's just too far. But we are not going to give up. We are going to try and have a Christmas party in December. We'll see how well that works out. And if we do, we'll let everybody know and see where we're having. If anybody wants to come down, we'd certainly be happy to have them down here. I also want to mention that, just a reminder for everybody, please go out and vote for the midterm elections. They're coming out a week from Tuesday. A week from Tuesday, so if you can, get out and vote. And I don't know if anybody's heard this on the news last night. I don't mean to bring this up, but there was a terrible massacre in Pittsburgh yesterday with 11 people killed, 6 injured, including some police officers. Please say a few prayers and thoughts for those families that lost their loved ones, please. But other than that, I don't have anything else to report. Is that I hope to see everybody in Las Vegas next year. I'm excited about that and going to someplace different. So thank you all, and I hope to see you in Vegas.
All right. Thank you, Brian. All right, we will go forward with the rest of the chapter reports when it's indicated. Can I get another door prize before we start with Braille is Beautiful? Ellen Bartle. Yeah, she's a student.
Hey, there we go.
All right. Well,
newly elected to the student board.
Newly elected to our student board. Ellen, are you here?
Yeah.
Okay. So, without, can, okay, at the back, I shall let you guys know. Federationists, could I have your attention? I'm talking over too many voices right now. At the back table, we have Kathy Randall and Marilyn Green are back there at the information table. So if you want to go pick up any literature, pick up the PAC forms, or anything else you want to pick up, they're back there. Also, there are still people selling battery chargers, the portable battery chargers that we have that works with the iPhone, iPads, Android phones and tablets, as well as the popular Victor Reader Stream. They're $30. I do know several of the students still have some for sale. So please support us by purchasing a portable battery charger. And without further ado, we are going to move to Braille is Beautiful. Here's Debbie Stein.
Denise. Okay, this year, in honor of our 50th anniversary, we are doing something special with Braille is Beautiful. Usually we have kind of recycled a play by some known playwright, and we've done some comedies and not always these, but this year we're doing an original script, which I wrote for this occasion, and so it has never been done before. This is a world premiere, guys.
All right.
Then the title is On Our Way, And I will tell you who the cast is. General Public 1 is played by Amy Bosco. General Public 2 is played by Nadia Montanez. General Public 3 is played by Pam Provost. And Blind Person 1 is Emma Meyer. Blind Person 2 is Ihwa Sprecher. Blind Person 3 is Pam Gilmore. Jacobus Tenbroek will be read by Rami Rabi. The ticket seller and gate agent will be read by Jalea Anderson. The part of Peter Grunewald will be read by Michael Nowitzki. The police officer will be read by Caitlin Ryan. And the Amtrak official is Linda Hendel. The police officer, And Ken Shad will read the part of Mark Riccobono. And the part of Steve Hestalis will be read by Steve Hestalis. So, if you'll please bear with us, we may be having a few technical difficulties with our sound effects. If cast, if you don't hear a sound effect, just carry on. Okay? You're on.
Slow down. You better be careful.
Watch out for the stairs. We don't want you to take a tumble.
Hold it, hold it.
Let go of me, please. But I'm going to take the escalator. I've got to keep moving. We are on our way. Today we can go where we want to go, even though the general public doesn't always get it. In 1957, Dr. Jacobus Tenbroek talked about some of the problems we face.
Not on the ground that her heart was weak and couldn't stand the excitement. Not on the ground that she was a carrier of contagion, but on the ground that she was blind.
And that wasn't all.
Travelers Insurance Company, in its standard policy issued to cover trips on railroads, expressly exempts the blind from coverage, not on the ground that there is statistical or actuarial evidence that blind travelers are more prone to accident than sighted travelers are, not on the ground that suitcases or fellow passengers fall on them more often, not on the ground that trains carrying blind passengers are more likely to be wrecked, but solely on the ground of blindness.
That's the sort of thing we were up against. And it didn't stop there, let me tell you.
Excuse me, where's your companion?
My who?
No, your companion. Who's going to take care of you on the train?
Oh, well, that would be me. I'll take care of myself. Thanks.
I can't sell you a ticket unless a sighted person is
Is this for real? What am I supposed to do? Buttonhole some random stranger? Hello, pardon me. May I ask you a favor? No, I mean, well, yes. Yes, kind of. Just pretend we know each other, okay? No, no, it's just the railroad. Pretend that we're together. They're afraid I can't travel by myself. The only way they'll let me on the train is if they think I have somebody with me. Look, once I buy my ticket, we go our separate ways. The ticket agent never needs to know. Just our little secret. You got that right.
Chapter meeting. We went to the South Concourse of Chicago Union Station to board an Amtrak train.
Where to?
Bloomington?
Harlanville?
Lincoln? Springfield.
Springfield.
You two, wait until everyone else is boarded.
We don't have to wait.
We know where we're going.
You're not boarding this train until I tell you to board.
Michael, come on. Let's go. We're boarding right now, along with everyone else.
No, you're not.
The gate agent put out his arm to stop us, but we pushed our way past him. Pete and I boarded the train and found a couple of seats. But the drama wasn't over. The gate agent boarded the train behind us, and it turned out he wasn't alone.
Hello, I'm Officer Lawless.
Gate agent.
Oh. Gate agent.
Gate agent.
I told them to wait, so everyone else boarded first.
We told you we know where we're going.
We don't have to be the last ones to get on the train.
No, you blocked us.
You discriminated against us under the Illinois White Cane Law. It says you can't treat us differently based on blindness or disability. At that point, the agent and the police officer left the train. The rest of the ride to Springfield went routinely, but I can't say the same for the return trip. In fact, it proved that blind travelers can cope even when there's an emergency. In Brighton Park, on the southwest side of Chicago, the Amtrak engineer made a safety stop before crossing another set of tracks. As the train proceeded into the railroad intersection, it jolted to a stop. It turned out that our train had collided with another locomotive, and some of the engine crew were injured. The passengers were evacuated from the train, and we climbed down a very sandy embankment to ground level.
Are you guys all right?
You better go to the hospital.
We don't need to. We're fine.
I'll sign a waiver to that effect if necessary.
What's going on here?
Where are we? Are we somewhere near Archer and Western?
Yes.
Can you please take us to...
Come on, get in the car. I'll take you to a bus stop.
And the police officer drove us to Western Avenue. But I still have to tell you the incident. Over the next week, the assistant station master of Chicago Union Station. I told him what had happened and asked him to investigate. It took several calls for me to work my way up the chain of command. Finally, an Amtrak official reported back to me.
We finally identified the gate agent you encountered. We had a long talk.
Please make sure this doesn't happen again.
I assure you, it won't.
And it never has, not to me anyway. At any rate.
We fought a lot of battles. Some of them were small, and some of them were pretty big.
Some are legendary.
One of our members in Illinois was a guy named James Chappell.
He got the city of Jacksonville to establish a bus system.
But a few years later, the city decided to eliminate the service.
James Chappell was in poor health, but he was determined to speak out.
On his way back to a public hearing, he collapsed and died on the steps of the Jacksonville courthouse. He was only 34 years old.
He's gone, but he will never be forgotten.
I'm sorry, but you can't sit there. That's an exit row.
Hand me your cane. I'll put it away and give it to you when we reach our destination. Cool?
In the unlikely event
of an emergency, you must remain seated until all...
We didn't take that stuff quietly.
For decades, the NFB fought with airlines for equal treatment.
We fought on the tarmac.
In the press.
And in the courtroom.
It finally came up with a sneaky way to keep us from seeing in the extra system. They put a loop car in the seatbelt.
What will they do when I pull out my KNFB reader app? I've got to try it sometime.
We're finally allowed to keep our canes, with us, anyway. It says that right in the manual under 14 CFR Part 121, Section 121-589G, 14 SRR 121-135A, and Section 121-589G, 1 plus 121-589G, 2. Everyone got that? Want me to say it again?
That's okay. We get the point. And in the likely event of an emergency, we're not waiting around for somebody to come get us.
We'll have our canes with us. We'll get off the plane along with everyone else.
You guys think you can do just about everything, don't you?
All right. Admit it. There are still some things you absolutely require sight to do, right?
You'll never be able to drive a car, that's for sure.
Face reality.
Please.
On January 29th, 2011, a blind person was given a unique responsibility to drive a car independently using non-visual interfaces along one and a half miles of the internal road course at the Daytona International Speedway. If the drive was a success, the existing pattern of thought would be shattered, and the potential for establishing a higher set of expectations would exist. At the end of my drive that day, I stepped out into a different world. Our expectations had risen and our understanding of the perceived limits has been shattered. Since the drive at Daytona, I no longer know exactly what the limit is for us as blind people.
We've come quite a distance.
We know that blindness isn't the characteristic that defines us or holds us back.
We are
on our way.